Could I invite my dear friend Nikkei to come? She's opening God's Word for us today.
Let's just pray. Father, I just thank you so much for everything. This morning, I, like never before, just feel my nothingness, Lord. How, God, really, truly, I am nothing, God, before you. And I really do not have any capacity to do anything except you help me, Holy Spirit. And I really just ask that you will be the teacher in our midst, God, today, even as we talk about honoring God and giving you all the glory. Father, I thank you that, yes, you are the wall of fire around us, and you are indeed the glory in the midst of us. Father, my prayer today is that, God, you will reveal that glory and that you will take everyone here to another level of glory in you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I want to give honor to whom honor is due. I want to thank Pastor Damian, and I want to thank all the elders for the opportunity to share the word of God. And I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to really just speak to us. I use lots of scriptures, so please bear with me. Amen. And I want to say also thank you to Pastor Damian for helping me format this message in a better manner. God bless him wherever he is. So today we're going to be looking at the subject of honoring God. Today we had problems with our mic, and I thought it was a good way to start. Because at times, when things are working really well, it's actually very easy to honor God and to praise and to jump and to do everything. Amen. But the real challenge comes when things are not as good as they should be. Are you still going to be willing to get up and actually worship the Lord as you should be? I was very happy today to actually see lots of people still lift up their hands, amen, and sing those songs from the bottom of their heart, despite the fact that we didn't have drums or guitar, we had guitar, or the piano, or anything like that. So God bless you. Today, the buttons work. We're looking at honoring God, like I said. And my text message is coming from the book of 1 Sam 2, 12 to 17. Well, it's quite a bit of a lengthy one, but I know we'll go really fast. And it says, now the sons of Eli were sons of Bilian. They knew not the Lord and the priest customs where the people was. That when any man offered sacrifice, the priest servant came. While the flesh was still sitting with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand, and he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, all that the flesh hook brought up the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sudden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, no or nay, but thou shalt give to eat me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for God abhorred the offering, for the men abhorred the offering of the Lord. We jump from verse 17 to verse 22, and it says, and Eli was very old and had all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they laid with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do you such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all these people. Now, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Massive question, isn't it? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord will slay them. We will jump again to verse 28. And it says, and did I not choose him? God was speaking to Eli here. And did I not choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me, And did I not give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Therefore, keep ye at my sacrifice and at my offering, what I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourself fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of the people of Israel, my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed, that thy house and the house of thy father shall walk before me forever. But now the Lord said, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I would honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thy arm, and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in that house. Praise the Lord. What was happening here? All through my Christian race, you know, as I've been a Christian for many years now, God has spoken to me over and over again about the subject of honor and honoring him. And we've been doing this as part of our life group for a couple of weeks now. And it's been really, really a blessing. So we're going to look at what was happening here. From that passage we have read, we can see that God called Eli and his lineage to serve him as priest. Right? So it was very clear. God said, I called him and his lineage. So called, not just called Eli, he called him and he's called his descendants to serve him as priest. One of their duties as priests was to offer sacrifices unto the Lord. God Almighty gave clear instructions about how he wanted the sacrifices to be offered. So he was very clear. He said, this is what should be done. This is how it should be done. Praise the Lord. Eli's sons were disobedient to God, and Eli did not ensure they complied with being obedient to God. That is a big one. Because when we read that scripture, we see that Eli spoke to his sons, didn't he? He said something. He said, oh, I hear all these things. And the Bible says that his sons did not listen to him. Well, what did he do after that? What effort did he make after that to make sure that his sons were listening, or that he decided that, all right, even if my sons won't listen, I will do something to make sure that God is honored, that the temple of God is honored. Amen. Unfortunately, Eli left it at just talking. And with the last one I have there is that God endures their behavior for a long while, and then God judges their actions. God makes a profound statement in verse 30, which we read previously, but I just highlighted it. So God didn't judge them. He allowed them to do what they wanted to do. God always gives us a very, very long rope. God, the Bible says that God is full of his loving kindness is new every morning. He is full of long suffering. So he gives a very, 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 very long rope before he judges. But we can see here that God did not withhold judgment when he felt that judgment was due. And what did he say? He said, be it far from me. For they that honor me, I would honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. As we carry on, we'll see how this affects us. In Malachi 1:6-8, once again, God is talking here. He says, the son honoreth his father, and the servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Said the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name, and you say, wherein have we despised thy name? You offer polluted bread upon my altar, and you say, wherein have I polluted thee? In that ye say, the temple of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto your governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts. Praise the Lord. Very strong words, isn't it? You see, what I wanted to pull out from that scripture is for us to see the mind of God in relation to honor. How God views it, how God sees it. God has welcomed all of us into the body of Christ, into his family, and he has called himself our Father. That is a privilege, a big, big privilege for every child of God, that God Almighty, who created the heavens and the earth and all that dwell therein, will say, I am his child, will make me part of his family. We take it for granted a great deal. And these people, just like we do, was taking it for granted. They were doing whatever they like to the Lord, bringing whatever offering they like. And I like the scripture we read before that, because it said, would you offer it to your governor? And let's think about it. If our queen was visiting us today, praise God, I don't think we would be acting the way we are acting right now. We would have had an entourage at the gate. We would have had, would have had a lot of funfare because the queen is coming. We would have looked for gifts, very expensive gifts, to say she's welcome to Kobe and that we feel honored by her presence, isn't it? But you know, when we at times don't read our Bible as often as we should, we don't know the scriptures are actually there, and that God is saying likewise, that I see what you are doing. I see what you are doing. Some of us honor our employers a lot more than we honor God. Some of us honor our earthly fathers more than we honor God. And God is saying today to us, this is not supposed to be a message of condemnation, but a message that actually takes us to that next level in God. Amen. So that we can be a lot more conscious about the fact that God sees these things and it matters to God. It matters to God. It really does. And judgment comes. God, the times of ignorance, the Bible says God has winked at. We're in grace. Thank God for grace. Amen. But grace does not mean there is no judgment. There's consequence for actions. And as we go through, we will see one example at least. I decided that to make sense of the word honor, it is good for us to look at what the dictionary actually says about honor. Amen. And it was quite interesting. Amen. Honor talks about regard with great and high respect or great esteem. To think highly of and to appreciate and value, to cherish and worship, to reverence, to admire, to put on a pedestal. Distinction, privilege, glory, prestige, importance. Who else occupies those places, that place in your heart? Who else deserves, or who qualifies actually for that kind of description? Amen. I could think of only one person that qualifies, amen, and that is God Almighty. Thus said God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and the spirit to them that walk therein. Wow. Wow. That is the God we are talking about. That is God. Without him, there is no breath in the people that we are talking with. There's no breath in us. If God didn't wake us up this morning and allow us to breathe, we don't even know how our lung functions. At least I don't. Praise the Lord. We might have more wiser people in that area here, but I don't. But I thank God that I can breathe. And I thank God that it is by the breath of God that I am able to breathe. God did all of that. He says, I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory would I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. I wanted to emphasize that because honor is about recognizing the lordship of God. If you don't recognize the lordship of God, you cannot honor him. If you don't recognize that your father has authority over you, your earthly father, I mean this time, you can't honor him. If you don't have any kind of respect for your employer at work, it is difficult to honor him. It is difficult to obey him, and then you have conflicts. Because then when he says something, you will challenge it, because that respect is not there. But when you see that person as Lord, as having authority and We're not just talking about your employers or your earthly father now. We're talking about God Almighty. Who he that can take away the breath like that? So I want us to establish in our hearts today that if you're taking nothing else, honor starts by first recognizing that God Almighty is Lord. And he demands that he is Lord in your life. He says, my glory will I not share with another, neither my praise to graven image. Graven image, when we think about it, we think about idols. Lots of us from Africa, we have them. But these days, it has been replaced by lots of other kind of graven images. We put so many things in our lives as first place. And it just occupies that same place. But God is saying to all of us this morning, he would not, and he means that, he would not share his glory with anything else. He will not share his praise with anything. So let us just have that at the back of our mind. Another example of what God meant, honor meant, was the quality of knowing and doing what is morally right. E.g., God honoring his word. And it had quite a few. I wrote them down because I thought God qualifies for all of them. Amen. It talked about integrity, honesty, ethics, moral, high principle, noble-mindedness, right-mindedness, to have virtue, goodness, decency, justice, truthfulness, trustworthiness, reliability, faithfulness, and fidelity. All those qualities, praise God, are in God Almighty. That is why he is saying, I deserve honor. I am honorable. He says, God, I just took the scripture from Psalm 92, 15 to tell us, says, to show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So all those qualities we've talked about, there is absolutely nothing. There's no field. All that God contains is honor and glory. There is just no death at all in God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then the last meaning of it was to fulfill or to keep an agreement. I thought that was beautiful. Those are the three meanings of honor in the Bible, in the dictionary. Amen. And it says, as I said there, God is a covenant-keeping God. He says, my covenant would I not break, neither alter the thing that has gone out of my mouth. Then in Jeremiah 1:12, it says, then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to fulfill it. You see, those were the dictionary. I got that from the dictionary. So I've just taken the dictionary meaning and put scripture to it. Praise the Lord. But you see that nobody, which is what my next slide says, is that God is honorable. And he desires to be honored, cherished, and glorified. Because no other person fits that position apart from God. I've taken quite a while to explain this part because I think once we get that part sorted, then we can go on to the next bit. He says, my covenant will I not break, neither alter the things that have gone out of my lips. I reemphasize that because the problem never comes from God. God is always settled. He has settled his part. Where does the problem come? Me. Praise the Lord. Amen. And this is about me. So we go that God created us for his glory. We'll look at a scripture. He says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. They are and were created. I wrote that there because at times we don't know, some of us do not know why we were actually created. And we have established that God is honorable and deserves all glory. So the next bit I thought we should realize is that the reason God created every single one of us is for his glory. That is the ultimate reason why you are still alive today. It is about giving God glory. So if you are doing anything else that is not giving God glory, you're actually not functioning in your calling. You're not functioning where God has made you to. So, and if you are planning to get to heaven and get a reward, I think we need to correct our mindset so that in everything we begin to do, we begin to think about it, that does this give God glory? Because that is the reason that I am created to give God glory. So if it is not giving God glory, what should we be doing? We should let go of it. Because it will not count for eternity. It could give us a bit of pleasure now, but it will not count. So let us be a bit focused on how we go about it. We were created for God's pleasure, to give him glory. Amen. I just repeated that we are created to give God glory. We are created to give God pleasure. So when we are not glorifying and honoring God in our lives, he is displeased. The opposite of honor is to disgrace somebody or to dishonor. God would lightly esteem everyone that dishonors him. So I have written that there because I want us to be aware too of the fact that when we are displeasing God, we're actually being very disgraceful. So when he was talking to the people and saying, oh, why did you sacrifice the blind lamb or whatever on the altar? We wouldn't do that to the queen, would we? Her guards would just come and pick you up, praise the Lord, before you even get near there, and they would throw you outside. You can't even dress. It was quite interesting to find that out. You cannot dress to visit the queen anyhow. You must dress in a particular manner to go to see the queen. So it doesn't matter, you know. And that was quite interesting because at times we forget a bit of these things, and when we actually find them out, it's good to actually imbibe them. That if I can't do it before the queen, there must be a reason why I can. And these are some of the standards God would expect as well. So when we are not honoring God, we are dishonoring him. And he says anyone who does that, he would lightly esteem. So I've said here, read from Deuteronomy, this is one of the scriptures in the Bible that tells us very simply what God requires from us. It's very interesting that God is very clear in the scripture about what he wants. And it says, and now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And to keep the commandments of the Lord your God, the Lord and his statutes which I command you today for your good. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it. The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them and chose their descendants after them, you above all people as it is this day. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no more. What is that scripture saying? God was saying very clearly, so that no one will say, I have a doubt about what I'm supposed to be doing. God was very clear. This is what I want from you, to love me, to honor me, to put me first, to obey my commandments. Praise the Lord. And then he made a statement there. He says, this was to the children of Israel, but today we are the spiritual Israel. So what God was saying there was that there are lots of people on the earth. Amen. But God chose you. Praise the Lord. So God privileged you. Amen. And there are not many people out there that are not born again, that do not know God, that are not here today because it doesn't make a difference to them. But God made it matter to you. So it is a privilege. He decided to choose you. Not because you are much, much better than those people, but because he is God and he decided to love you. Amen. So what disturbs us, according to the scripture, is he says, therefore circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no more, which means don't be stubborn and rebellious anymore. Correct your heart. Correct the state of your heart. Change it. Turn it around. Decide today that because I'm hearing this, I will choose to honor the Lord. Amen. We'll continue. He says, for the Lord your God is God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great, mighty, and awesome God. Sorry, I didn't read that to the end. Who shows no partiality, nor takes bribe. Amen. So how do we declare our love for God? Amen. So God has said what he requires. He has said what he requires is the fact that we will love him with all our heart. We will be there for him. How do we do that? In John 14, 15 and 21 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He that had my commandments and kept them, he is he that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. I will manifest myself in him. Praise the Lord. Quite simple, isn't it? Isn't it? Sorry, I've made you all so quiet. Quite simple, isn't it? Yeah. Praise the Lord. It's as simple as just loving God. And loving God means obeying his commandments, doing what he says you should do. And actually, he summarized that very nicely into two major things. One, that we love the Lord our God with all our heart. And that we love each other. Isn't that quite simple? Amen. It is, isn't it, Jay? And the way David was really angry with those cars, and not the owners, it was the cars he was angry with. Praise the Lord this morning. God wants us to love him. Amen. And to love each other. Those are the major things. So loving God is about honoring God, from what we have read in the scripture. And loving and honoring God is living in obedience to God's word. Just like we read in the story earlier about Eli and his son, very similarly, God has called his children, believers, to be kings and priests unto him. And this is where my message is really going. I've taken quite a while to lay the foundation, but this is where it matters for us to realize that we are no different from Eli and his sons. Just like God called them to be priests, and he called their descendants with them, that is how God has called us. In Revelation 1:6, it says, "And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever." So, it could have been easy to look at Eli and say, "Oh, he is the priest, isn't he? His standards are really high." But the Bible says, actually, that when Jesus died, what he did was make us kings and priests unto God. Amen. And being kings and priests unto God, we have similar responsibility as Eli did. It says, just like we read, we have those similarities. God has called us to offer spiritual sacrifices. In 1 Peter 2:5, it says that you also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So what was Eli doing and his sons? They were offering sacrifices. How did they offer their own sacrifices? They were dishonoring God in offering their sacrifices. You might not have realized before today that very similarly, according to the Bible, in 1 Peter 2:5, you are a priest also. Amen. And God has called you to offer spiritual sacrifices unto him, just like Eli was doing. Well, let that drop for 1 minute. How are you offering your own spiritual sacrifices unto God? How are you doing yours? Amen. In the body of Christ, there's that part you play. It says God has also called us to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. So when we talk about offering, we can read that in Romans 12:1. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." So beloved, when God called us as priests, the instruction was to offer spiritual sacrifices. The spiritual sacrifices are offering ourselves as living sacrifice unto God. So God is not calling us to kill ourselves now like they did in the olden days and took the fat out of it. But God is saying that every one of us needs to live our life as a living sacrifice unto God. It just means loving God and loving your brethren, loving your neighbor as yourself. That is simply what it means, loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. It's quite humbling, isn't it, to just even think that God would ask this of us. Amen. That is, and God says it is our reasonable. So it is not a high taxing thing. Amen. Praise God. Like build the bridge or bring, we're not that complicated. It is very, very simple. That bring yourself in that right state. bring yourself as holy as acceptable unto God. So God has given us clear instructions on how to offer spiritual sacrifices in his word. We need to study the word to know that. In that Romans 12:2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So our reasonable service to God is studying the word. Find out what God is saying you should do. Find out how God is saying you should live with your neighbor. Find out how God is saying you should love people. Because if you don't know, you can't do it. But if you know, then you will make an effort. And that is what God wants us to do. God understands that we are still human and we'll make mistakes. Praise the Lord. But God wants us to do our very best. So, and he says that is our reasonable service. And what I then did was I just listed down. We've been doing this for about 6-7 weeks in the life group. Amen. And it covers every area of life is what we've discovered. There's an instruction for everything. It's as simple as that. There's an instruction for everything. There's an instruction for our finances. There's instruction for relationships. There's instruction for our body. And there's instruction for our joint body of Christ, mouth, our mind, our service. There's instruction for everything. I just wanted to emphasize just a little bit on the body of Christ. Amen. Because the body of Christ is where it really comes very important in terms of loving your neighbor as yourself. Many of us don't realize it. But in the book of 1 Corinthians 11, the Bible talks a lot. When we say take the communion every first week, we read that scripture and we talk about examining ourselves and discerning the Lord's body. Many of us might not know what that means. Discerning the Lord's body is not discerning that bread we're breaking, because that is a symbol of what the Lord's body is. The Lord's body is me and you. Praise the Lord. And so when we are not discerning the Lord's body, we are not discerning, and we're not discerning each other, and we go and take communion. The Bible says that is why many are sickly and some sleep in your midst. So at times, people have died. We just don't know it. We don't link it. At times, sickness. Because if we read 1 Corinthians, as we read in the book of Samuel, it came with judgment, didn't it? That scripture is very clear. That is why many are sickly and some sleep in your midst. So I was just going to emphasize that. So let's be careful. Careful with each other. Careful with discerning the Lord's body. Do not treat that person anyhow just because you think you can. If you have nothing to say, keep quiet. I know we won't get along with everybody, but interestingly, we can actually love everybody because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. I might not be able to meet that need, but it doesn't stop me loving you and loving you as best as I can. Amen. So I just wanted to drop that in because that was one of the examples in the New Testament that actually shows that there is a consequence with our behavior. So the next thing I said here was Jesus obviously showed us an example to follow. He did it himself. He's not asking us to do something he didn't do. He offered himself as a sacrifice to God. Likewise, God is calling us to honor him by offering ourselves as a living sacrifice. The Bible says, it says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering, thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. That was, when I read that, I read that again, and it just touches my heart. You know, Jesus didn't really need to pick up our human body. Oh, God, can you imagine how our body is? And the complications that come with having this body. But he said here, Jesus was saying that God was not satisfied with the methods. And the only thing that was going to be good enough for God was for God to give him a body, a human body, so he can actually come and die for our sake. That was a huge sacrifice for Jesus Christ. Imagine him sitting with God in glory. Every testimony I've had of people that went to heaven and came back, they didn't want to come back. Amen. So I can't imagine that Jesus would have wanted to leave heaven to come and dwell on this earth, this fallen earth. But that was what God demanded. And so he took it on himself and he did it. Amen. So Jesus offered himself by the help of the Holy Spirit. It's important because as I'm saying today, I know that the things I'm saying are quite challenging. Amen. I'm challenging myself, not just you. But it is important to know that God has not asked us to do it by ourselves. He didn't ask us. He knows that in our flesh we can never do it. Amen. And even Jesus could not offer himself by himself. He needed the Holy Spirit. He says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the internal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So Jesus did it with the help of the Holy Spirit. And I think most of it I've said is really around Holy Spirit helping us as well. Jesus, after he had offered himself, was able to say to God in John, glorify me with the glory I had from the beginning. Why was he able to say so? He was able to say so because he had done everything that God had required from him. So he could boldly go to God and say, oh yeah, our agreement, amen, you would honor those that honor you. I have honored you. Glorify me with the glory I had from the beginning. And God is faithful. God kept his part of it. Amen. So Jesus could request that God glorifies him because he was confident that he had finished his work. Can we say likewise? Can we declare that? What I wanted to say before I round up is that God is no respecter of persons. The fact that Jesus did it and successfully did it and God glorified him does not make Jesus more special than us. He's special because he's divinity. I'm not undermining that. But God has given us the same Holy Spirit that he gave to Jesus Christ so that we can actually accomplish it like Jesus. If we read carefully the scripture before that, it said here, the Holy Spirit helps him to purge himself. And as we read here, it says, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold or silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from this, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto good work. What am I saying there? Jesus had to do that work with the Holy Spirit. Every one of us here can be that vessel of honor. Every one of us. It is you who makes that decision about whether or not you want to be a vessel of honor. And that scripture is saying there that if that material, what? Purges themselves. God is not going to come and change you. You are going to have to purge yourself. That thing you know is in your life that is not glorifying God, you are going to have to address it. So like David was saying this morning, he had to address his anger, amen, towards those cars, amen. It is your responsibility to take care of whatever is the issue in your life. And I'm praying that, you know, we will do that. It's not about, nobody is better than the other in a house. You need all these vessels. So we can't sleep on gold, can we? In as much as we like gold and silver, it's preferable to sleep on foam, isn't it? Amen. So in a big house, you would have wood, you would have silver, you would have gold. Amen. And you would have, there's one more, praise God. You will have every single type of vessel. Amen. So I'm not bothered about changing myself from wood to silver or to gold. It's not necessary. But I can be the best wood possible. I can be the most honorable wood I can be. Amen. And when I'm the most honorable wood, I will be sought after. Praise God. Because they will say, oh, I want high quality wood. Isn't it? And that is exactly what God is calling you to be. Not to change yourself, but be you, but be most honorable. Amen. And that is, I think that's it. Yeah. So various vessels are in the house and we're trusting God that. So in the great house, yes, there are lots of vessels and we're trusting God, amen, that we would all be vessels of honor in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Oh, yeah. All right. God bless you richly. Amen. Thank you. Let's just say a word of prayer. Let's just pray over the word. Amen. Father, I just want to thank you for the word today. Thank you because it's such a challenging word. But Father, I just pray, God, that the enemy will not steal the word from us, Lord, even as we go to our various homes and various activities. But that the Holy Spirit, even as he helped Jesus, will continue to remind us to purge ourselves and to be vessels of honor to your glory, Lord. Father, we just thank and honor you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Nikkei. A very powerful, uncompromising word, very clear and very challenging, and can be very difficult for us to hear. Because I think very often we like to live in fuzziness, in fudge, without clarity, so we can hide somewhere, so that we find somewhere that we don't, oh, we're okay, because that's all right. But God is calling us to honor him in the way that we live our lives. And there's been a challenge this morning, and therefore there has to be a response to that. We have to respond to the word of God that Nikkei has brought to us so powerfully. We can't ignore it, or we can choose to ignore it, and there are consequences for that. But we have been confronted very clearly this morning that in our lives we have to honor God in how we respect ourselves and how we respect and love our neighbors. It is very, very clear. So there is a challenge in this place this morning. There is a challenge resting here that we need to respond to. We can't ignore it because we've all heard it. And so we have to make a choice on how we respond. Could I invite the worship team, if they would please, to just come and prepare to lead us in worship? I've sensed very much the presence of God here this morning. He's been speaking to us very clearly through every aspect of what's happened in this place. And now there is that moment when we need to make that response in our heart. And for some of us, it may be helpful for us to just come and to just be prayed with, to have somebody just come and to stand with us as we make our commitment to God. And that's a powerful thing. Because as we do that in the presence of another person, we are signaling what God has done in our heart and in our lives, and we want to respond to it, and we are declaring it out. So if it would be helpful for you to just come and for somebody to stand with you as you make your prayers to God, as you make your promises to God, then please do so. As always, our prayer ministry team will be over here to my right and your left. But let's stand now and let's worship God and allow him to minister to us. We cannot escape the clarity and the power of the word we've heard this morning, and that demands a response. Thank you so much.